The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday morning. It is cold and windy in Texarkana. We had rain yesterday, and that's a big deal for us because tonight is our fall festival where we welcome thousands of people onto the campus at First Baptist Texarkana. We start at 5:30, end at 7:30. We have hot dogs and tons of candy and all sorts of good things, food trucks and ice cream and you name it, we have it. And it's a lot of fun for kids and for families. It's safe, but it is going to be a little chilly. We had rain yesterday and then wind today, which is a good thing because, as I pointed out to our staff, you know, the wind will dry the ground quickly. And I learned from my chemical days when I worked at Nalco Chemical Company this thing called the latent heat of vaporization, that, you know, as wind hits the water, it removes the heat, and it also removes the water. It evaporates. So we are looking forward to that, and we welcome you. If you live in the Texarkana area, we'd love to have you and your family come and be a part. We're going to have a good time tonight, 5:30 to 7:30 on the parking lot by the softball field. Well, I wanted to talk to you today about the question of black and white and gray. You know, we think of, is it easy to determine right or wrong, black or white? Or is it a gray area? Now, I contend that in the Christian life, for the Bible-believing Christian, there are not very many things that are gray. There are some things that are gray. Well, gray means, well, it kind of depends on context. It depends on some other factors, whether this issue is right or wrong. But most of the things in the Bible and most of the things we face in life, they are right or wrong. They are good or bad, and they are righteous or evil. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right." Do you have a good sense of what is right and what is wrong? What is in bounds with the Lord and what is out of bounds with the Lord? You know, the Bible says that we get this sense of right and wrong, good and evil, by spending time in the Word of God. So the writer of Hebrews tells his listeners, his recipients, concerning Him, speaking of Jesus, "We have much to say to you, but it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For by this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God." You have to go back to the ABCs of the Christian life. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. You've digressed and regressed, and you're like a little baby that can't eat the pablum anymore. You have to go back to milk. You can't even handle Gerber's. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food, the meat of the word of God, is for the mature, who because of practice has his senses trained to discern good and evil. The mature have their senses trained to discern good and evil because they practice. They spend time with the Word of God. They study to show themselves approved, as Paul told Timothy. And you can tell what is right, what is wrong, what is good, and what is evil. Now, as I've pointed out before many times in sermons and on the radio, it's interesting when the Bible says train to discern what is good and what is evil. That word discern is to make a judgment, to be able to distinguish. You know, you have to be able to do that in life. If you have zero discernment, you are in serious trouble. But you have to discern, you know, somebody's trying to sell you something. Is this a pig in a poke or is this a legitimate item? I still remember when I worked a summer job one time. I was at this hotel. I was doing nursery work at this hotel. They had a big spread of plants, and this guy had come in and he was trying to sell one of the maids at the hotel this Rolex watch for a reduced price. And she was so so torn. Should I buy it? Should I not? Is he telling me the truth? Is this really a Rolex? Well, it was a fake watch, and he was trying to scam her. And she was struggling, and to her credit, she never bought it. But to discern between good and evil. Now, the thing that makes this interesting, when the Lord says being able to judge, to discern, to esteem between good and evil, good is the Greek word kalos, K-A-L-O-S, and evil is the word kakos, K-A-K-O-S, and kalos and kakos are very similar. They you could, if you don't look at them closely, you could get fooled. And that's how the devil works. He is not one liar among many liars. He's the master liar. He's the father of lies. And the most believable lies are the ones that sound right, that feel right, that seem to lie. Oh, okay, that I can see where that is true. And the devil wants you and wants me and wants believers. He's got the unbelieving world. He's already blinded the minds of the unbelieving world. But he wants believers to start questioning everything and put it in the gray category. And God says, no, it's not gray. It's black and white. It's good or evil. And if you'll spend time in the Word and meditate on the Word and memorize the Word and immerse yourself in the Word of God, you're able. You'll have your senses trained. You'll just know in your heart when something's not right. We have that expression, I smell a rat. You're going to be able to sniff out a lie. Something is not right in this situation. And most things in life that we face as believers are black and white. They're good or evil. And woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And especially tremendous woe on those who take a bribe to call evil good and good evil, and destroy those who are in the right. Now, we see this happening in politics all the time. And I've seen, those that try and present themselves. We had programs on the air with different pastors. Tom Askell and I talked about this when the election was taking place in 2024. And you had these evangelicals for Biden. And then it was evangelicals for Harris. And you ask yourself the question, wait a minute, how could you possibly support the platform of the Democrats? Well, you know, abortion is just, I know the Bible is against abortion, as I read this one lady's post on Facebook. Well, she was all for, what's his name, Beto O'Rourke. And she said, we're going to do everything we can to help him get elected over Ted Cruz, but we know abortion is bad. Yeah, well, abortion is not an ancillary thing. It's not just one issue among a bunch of issues. It's the murder of the innocent unborn. That goes to the top of the heap. You can't support any kind of platform, any kind of politician who would say, yes, I'm for the unrestricted murder of the unborn. Oh, well, Jeff, that's a gray area. It's not a gray area. It's very black and white, and you cannot, as a believer, support that. You can't support the LGBTQIA+ agenda. You just can't. That is anti-God. You know, if you choose, as John MacArthur pointed out, if you choose as your platform, your party platform, the sins of Romans chapter 1. And if you read Romans 1, 18 to the end of the chapter, verse 32, you'll see that so many of those sins are what the Democrats champion. And so it's like, well, there's no way on God's green earth that I could, as a Christian, support that before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm walking in your ways. I'm doing your will. I'm supporting this. And I'm not saying you have to, therefore, be a Republican or vote for Donald Trump, but you have to. You can't vote for somebody that's out and out against the Lord. And here's how twisted, I mentioned this Sunday when I preached at Southview. Here's how twisted the devil gets people, and even religious people, not believers, but religious people. When the Jewish religious leaders were face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, doing miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, preaching like no one has ever preached before. I mean, people were spellbound. We've never heard anybody talk like this before. I mean, as Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher sent from God, because nobody can do the things that you do unless God is with them. I mean, this is a no-brainer. But the religious leaders hated Jesus because he called them out. They didn't want to be exposed, and he was exposing them as being hypocrites and charlatans. And so they said to the people, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler, the prince of the demons. What we have here, people, this is what they said to the Jewish people, what we have here, people, is the devil in the flesh. And Jesus let them have it in Matthew chapter 12, and basically said to them, to those guys, hey, that doesn't even make sense. Why would Satan cast out Satan? But you are so twisted and you are so against me that no matter what I do, you're not going to believe. And that's why in Matthew 12, he issued the warning about the unpardonable sin. Many people wonder, what is the unpardonable sin? The unpardonable sin is rejecting Jesus Christ. It's with your eyes wide open, the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know who Jesus is, and yet you still won't bow the knee. Well, when that happens, what else could God possibly do in your life to get you to believe? You know, the religious leaders, the Sadducees, who really controlled the Sanhedrin, they had more of the stroke there because they controlled the temple, and they were political, in bed with Rome and all those things. They heard from the Roman soldiers, Matthew 28. They heard that the stone was rolled away, that an angel came down and sat on the stone. And those guys shook for fear and became like dead men. They heard all that. And what did they say to it? Oh, well, we repent and believe. No. They gave them some money. And they said to them, you just say the disciples came by night and stole him away while we were sleeping. And if this should come to the governor's ears, because the penalty for that would be death. If this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. They knew that the disciples didn't steal his body. They made it up. They perpetrated a lie on the Jewish people. People even think this today. Why? Because they would not believe. It's very, very sad. And they had to go through mental gymnastics. And people today rejecting Christ, you have to go through mental gymnastics. And people on the issues of life, you go through mental gymnastics to try and take something that is very black and white. This is true. This is not true. This is good. This is bad. This is righteous. This is evil. And you look at it and you say, well, But you have to be nuanced, and you have to. You're too rigid, Jeff. You're too narrow in your viewpoint. No, I'm just being biblical. Now, does the Bible tell us about some gray areas? Yes, meat sacrifice to idols is a gray area, and we're going to discuss that when we come back. You can read about gray areas in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and in Romans chapter 14. And when we face some issues that are gray, meat sacrifice to idols, then we have to go to the Lord and we have to see, Lord, what do you want me to do here? And how do I guide myself in the scripture when I face a gray area? Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about black, white, and gray. You know, what are things in life? Are they black? Are they white? Or are they gray? We have some people that like to say, well, everything is gray. I have an attorney friend of mine, and he sees almost every issue in life. Well, I can see the good part of this, and I can see the bad part of it. It's just kind of a gray area. And I'm like, it's not a gray area at all. This is right, this is wrong. I see things very black and white. My oldest brother, Larry, is an attorney. I remember he and I were having a conversation once, and he was talking about the legal system, and he said, well, you know, the job of a defense attorney is not to determine what happened, what you know, the truth of the matter. Let's get down to see, did this guy do this crime? He said it's to defend his client. It's the job of the prosecuting attorney to prove the case that the client did that. And so I've always likened it this way in law. It's like you're selling a car, and half the car looks great, and the other half's been smashed. And so you just want to get all the jurors to look at one side of the car. You don't want to present the other side of the car, because the other side of the car ruins your case. And I remember telling Larry, well, Larry, that's just not right. And he said, well, that's how the founding fathers set up the legal system in America. And every American is offered a fair trial, a jury of his peers, and he's offered a defense. So I just think that, you know, if you want to get right with God and you did a crime, you confess it. You just say, I did it, I'm guilty. And you fall on the mercy of the court. But you don't try and present yourself as innocent when you are obviously guilty. So I'd probably never make a good lawyer, because if I was someone's defense lawyer, and as I started studying the case, found out the guy was, hey, you really did this. And so I would go to the judge and say, hey, I'm putting this guy up. We're pleading guilty. He doesn't want to plead guilty, but I'm pleading guilty for him because he did it. So that probably wouldn't work. I'd probably starve as an attorney. But it's good as far as being a pastor goes. Now, the gray areas. So the Bible does say that there are gray areas. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Paul says, now concerning things sacrificed to idols. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know that there is no such thing as an idol in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, false for sure, yet there is for us but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. However, not all men have this knowledge, but some, being accustomed to the idol until now, eat food as if it were sacrificed to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. What's he saying? He's saying these people that came out of paganism, they don't want to buy meat that has been sacrificed to an idol, because they say, oh, there's demonic power there. And the person that has never been tainted by that says, that's just ridiculous. This is a better deal for me. I can get meat cheaper over here, this meat sacrificed to an idol, and you're going to pay more for the meat not sacrificed to an idol. And if I'm going to be a good steward, I know this has no power, so I'm going to go get that meat. But the person that is weak in his faith, as the Bible says here, being weak, is defiled. He says, no, you can't do that. So Paul said, well, food will not commend us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Okay, you mature Christian, you know that this meat sacrifice to the idol, that idol means nothing, and you want to get a better deal. But remember, no one lives to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we are the Lord's. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Romans 14. And people are watching you, and our example is very important. So take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you, who have knowledge, who are mature and know that this doesn't have any power, dining in an idol's temple, will not his conscience, if he is weak, be strengthened to eat things sacrificed to idols? Through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined, the brother for whose sake Christ died. And so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, here's the summation. If food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Concerning gray areas, here's the admonition from Scripture. And we all need wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we pray, God, give me wisdom in this situation. Because I know, you know, that this appears gray to me, but help me see it from your perspective. Wisdom is just seeing life from God's perspective. Help me see it the way you see it, because I don't want to do something that would be displeasing to you. So how do you deal with the gray area? We don't have meat sacrificed to idols, so let me talk about a subject that might step on some toes. How about alcohol? Alcohol in the life of a Christian. Now, we know that the Bible is clear. Do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Wine is a mocker, Proverbs says, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. And we say, well, it's wrong to get drunk, but the Bible doesn't say anything about drinking. And we know that they drank wine in the Bible. So what do we do with that as Christians living in 2025? Well, I came to Christ when I was a senior in high school, and I came out of a partying background with my buddies. I was an athlete. I played on the basketball team. And what did we do on the weekends? We went out Friday night, Saturday night. We went out and got beer. We drank. We got drunk. We chased girls. We caroused. We did all those things. So then I become a Christian. And I say to myself, well, wait a minute, how can I be a witness to my friends if I'm still with them on Friday and Saturday night and still participating in what they're participating in, and mainly the drinking? And I could say, well, you know, you guys are drinking six beers, I'm only having one beer. But nobody, you know, wonders, and oh, yeah, that's okay for Jeff. He's just having one. He's not really getting drunk. These other guys are getting drunk, but Jeff's just having one beer. No, they just see you drinking with your buddies, and you say you're a Christian? Then why would you be doing that? I have a good friend of mine. He's a medical doctor in the Waco area. He was very influential in my life in college, Tim Martindale, Dr. Tim Martindale. And he was a strong believer growing up in middle school and high school. And he said he was at a gathering of his high school classmates. And just for fun one time, he took a can of beer and he washed it out. It was pretty much empty. He washed it out and he put water in it. And he sat down in the living room where all his friends were and the people had gathered, and he started to drink this beer that wasn't really beer, just water. And he said one girl looked at him and she burst into tears and she ran out of the room, and he came to her and he said, what is the matter? And she said, Tim, I thought you were a real Christian. I thought you really walked the talk. But now I see you're fake and you're a phony, just like everybody else. And he said, whoa. It was just a gag. It was just a joke. This is water. Look, it's just water. But that story never left my mind, because people do watch us. And don't destroy with your liberty those for whom Christ died. Now, for me, my friends thought that was a big deal, drinking. And if you were going to say that you had given your heart and life to Jesus, and I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, that you weren't going to be carousing, you weren't going to be drinking, you weren't going to be partying like that. You weren't going to be doing what they were doing, because they didn't profess to have a born-again experience. And so I had to cut that out of my life. And so now I was not addicted to that, as some get addicted to it, and then it's very, very difficult to cut that out of their lives. But here's my take on alcohol. There's no upside to alcohol. None. Zero. There's only downside. You know, alcohol has destroyed more marriages, it's destroyed more families, it's destroyed more lives on the highways as people drive inebriated. There's no upside to alcohol. Some guy told me one time, a Christian guy in our church, he said, well, you know, we used to have parties at my house and we had no alcohol. And then he said, I just said, well, wait a minute, I think we should have some alcohol, because people seem to enjoy it more. They loosen up more when they have alcohol. So he went the alcohol route. Yeah, well, okay. They do, and you trash your testimony, and people don't think that you are really serious about walking with God when you allow that into your life. Now, you can say, well, that's their fault. Yeah. Well, if food causes my brother to stumble, or if drink causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. If alcohol causes my weaker brother to stumble, and I'm a mature Christian, say, well, I can handle this one glass of wine, I can handle this one beer. Well, you may be able to do that. But a weaker brother that sees you is not able to do that. And that wrecks his or her life. I still remember Ada Ferguson. She was our counselor here at Champion Forest, such a dear, dear friend and staff member and teammate. She's with the Lord now. But she told me about a situation in her family where her son and daughter-in-law had gotten involved in a small group, and the deacon at their church was leading the small group, and they came to his house along with the other couples, and the deacon served alcohol. And her daughter-in-law said, well, I'm going to have that. I guess it's okay. I mean, I thought this, you know, this is a Christian gathering, but if he's a deacon at the church, this must be okay. And she partook of that drink, and she couldn't handle it. And that alcohol got a hold of her life, and it wrecked and ruined her life, her family, her marriage, everything. Because she was the weaker brother or the weaker sister in that instance. So don't eat, don't drink, don't do that gray area if for someone else it's really going to be a stumbling block. And then don't eat if it violates your conscience. If you say, well, this just doesn't seem right to me, well, then don't do it. The Bible says in Romans 14, the faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he is not eating from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. If you don't have a clear conscience about this activity, whatever it might be, then don't do it. Now, it might not be wrong for somebody else to do it, but the Lord has, for some reason, your conscience is very sensitive to that. Meat sacrifice to idols. People say, well, I can't do that. That's just not right for me. Okay, then don't do it. Don't violate your conscience. And don't do those things that are going to trash your witness. We can't emphasize that enough. If it's going to hurt another brother or sister in the Lord, just don't do it. Cut it out of your life. Do you have to have alcohol? Do you have to watch these certain shows? You say, oh, Jeff, you're just restricting my life so much. I have some liberty in Christ. Yes, you do. But you have to balance your liberty with other people, because what are we here for? We're here to be a blessing to other people. We're here to shine and to share. We're here to walk in the light as the Lord is in the light. We want our lives to make a difference. We want to be salt and light. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 A very familiar passage of Scripture. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, those who have gone before us, those who have lived the Christian life, not perfectly, but faithfully. I say the Christian life, the Old Testament Christian life, those believers in God. He mentioned Samson. Samson was not a great example, but Samson did act by faith. He said, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. An encumbrance is one of those gray area things. It's one of those things that's like, okay, it's kind of like TV. TV is amoral. Your iPad, amoral. It's neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it that can make it good or bad. And so, hey, lay aside those things that can be an encumbrance, a snare to you, and the sin which so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hey, we're running a marathon race in the Christian life. It's not just a marathon, 26.2 miles. It's an ultra marathon. And one of the reasons that the Christian life is so hard is because it's long. Anybody can go all out for 100 meters, but you can't go all out for 50 miles. And, you know, we go to a church service and we get all jazzed and I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to put away those deeds of the flesh and I'm really going to walk with him and I'm going to get serious. And you have all the best intentions and your heart is there and it's good. But you can't live off emotion alone, because then you go home and real life slaps you in the face. And, you know, home is where the rubber meets the road. And so we desperately need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. That's the only way to live the Christian life. Take it a day at a time, live the Christian life, and look at your life and say, Lord, is there anything in my life that I'm participating in that is displeasing to you, that is hurting my witness, especially with my kids? Because those little eyes are watching, those little ears are listening, and we have to be genuine and authentic in our walk with Jesus. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, I would love to hear from you. It's always such a joy to hear from our listeners. And who knows, maybe your testimony can really help somebody else. So give me a call and let's talk.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about things that are white, things that are black, and things that are gray. And I make the contention that most things that you face in life, that I face in life, are in the black and white category. And when you come to church, it's important for the pastor to be very black and white with truth. Jesus was full of grace and truth. You know, I want to be very clear when I preach so that people don't walk away scratching their head saying, I'm not sure what he thinks about this issue or that issue or the other issue. You know, we have some guys that they count it as some kind of badge of honor, and if people have no idea how they vote. Well, my congregation doesn't know if I'm conservative or liberal. Well, good grief. How you're doing a terrible job. I would say you need to check and see if you're not a wolf in sheep's clothing. We live in a day and age where it's the days of Noah again. They're rolling back around. Jesus says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And the days of Noah were very black and white. You're either on the ark safe, or you are not on the ark dead. There's just one way to salvation, and that is God's ark. The ark's a picture of Jesus. There weren't many ways. There was one way. And you know what people teach in Islam or Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever. You say, oh well, it's, you know, everybody's got his way. No, there's one way. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so we have to make things clear to the people. And very important for preachers to make things very, very clear and to talk about issues that everyone is talking about, issues in the culture. If you never bring up the things going on in the culture, people say, well, this guy is out of touch with real life. You know, we have Don Wildman's documentary on his life, Culture Warrior. And so as Charlie Kirk said, and I've maintained that Don Wildman was a precursor to Charlie Kirk. But Charlie Kirk said before he was brutally assassinated for speaking the truth in love, he said, you know, we are called to be salt and light, and salt and light change the environment in which they're introduced to. And Christians are not doing that very well. We're kind of assimilating into the culture. We're supposed to be culture warriors. We're supposed to change the culture for Jesus Christ. And we lift up the name of Jesus and point people to Jesus and say, he is the only one who is mighty to save, and you desperately need him. Because as Jesus said, unless you believe I am he, I am the great I am God in the flesh, I am the Savior, the only Savior, you will all die in your sins. Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have our friend Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
I'm going to throw one in your face, okay?
Okay, hit me.
I know you're a sports buff. I know you love football.
Uh-huh.
And I know you love boxing.
Uh-huh.
And let's say I'm of the same persuasion you are.
Uh-huh.
And yet, I have someone in my household that says, how can you possibly waste your time watching that? It's so violent. How can you, as a Christian, allow yourself to put that into your brain? Because I know what's having an emotional impact on you. So, okay, Pastor Jeff, there you are. Let me have it.
Well, football is a sport. It's a contact sport, for sure. And boxing is an extreme contact sport. Now, I do think, I will say this, OB, I don't think there's anything wrong with football or boxing. I think it's fine to have a favorite team and follow a team. But there are some that inside the octagon, some of those MMA things, I have trouble watching that, where guys are just getting bloodied, you know, beyond belief, and hitting people with elbows and kicking them in the head. And, you know, some people really like that. And it's kind of like the gladiators without people dying. But, you know, we've had people die in the ring, and those things are tragic indeed. But, yeah, I wouldn't see that that's a gray area, although some people may have a conviction about that that says, you know, I just can't support that. And so this faith that you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So if you think it's wrong, then don't do it. But now here's what the Bible says, Romans 14. You're not the judge of other people. So if other people do it, you know, this goes back to the more mature Christian needs to be sensitive to the less mature Christian, but the less mature Christian needs to know too, hey, I'm not everybody's personal Holy Spirit, and just because I think it's wrong doesn't mean that it's wrong for them. So unless we can point to a chapter and verse that says this is wrong, then it's one of those gray areas. Now, as I mentioned, the big one is alcohol, and The case that I make for that is that I couldn't do that. I couldn't be an effective witness to my buddies when I got saved if I was still drinking. They would have dismissed me. They would have said, "You're a hypocrite. Don't talk to me anymore about Jesus." And so I knew that was critical. What comes out of our mouths? Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ephesians 4:29. People listen to what you say and the words you use. And we're not to have coarse or filthy talk. And, you know, I was talking to Greg Davis yesterday, and off air we continued our conversation, and we were talking about John Wooden, one of my favorite coaches, coached the UCLA Bruins. Well, he had a policy at practice. None of his players would use profanity. If you used profanity, you were out for that day, because he wasn't going to tolerate that. He didn't use it, his coaches didn't use it, and his players weren't going to use it. And I love that, because that says, hey, there's standards on this team. And, you know, if he had used profanity, he would have really hurt his witness, because those guys held him to a higher standard. And so for my pastor friends, my Bible teaching friends, James 3:1, let not many of you become teachers, my brother, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. So we do need to be very sensitive to what we approve of. One of the things that I was going to mention, Obi, is the movies that we watch. Now, Debbie and I, we signed up for VidAngel because there are some good shows, but they're ruined with language or with being too risque or whatever it might be. VidAngel, you can block all that out. You can edit whatever you want to edit. And so then you're not listening to that stuff, and you're not, but you can still follow the storyline. And so we feel good about that. So when we watch movies, if somebody says, hey, this is a good show, this is a good movie, we'll watch it on VidAngel, because then it takes all those things out. So I appreciate it. That's a pointed one for sure, but I don't see that as being a gray issue, at least not for me. So I appreciate that, Obi. God bless you, brother. We have Shirley on the line from Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share, in this day and time, you're right, Charlie Kirk is right. We are called to be salt and light, right?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I believe the Lord is calling us to see with our eyes, okay? Not necessarily just hear what other people say and believe it, but see with our eyes, because there's a lot of deception going around. He told us in 2 Thessalonians, people would be so deceived at the end times, the Lord will send them more deception so that they won't repent, because they would not when they had time to right. do so. Now, and what we're looking at is deception. I give you one good example. I don't know who would believe that you can stand in my face, okay, and shoot me from the front and the bullet go all the way around my head and hit me in the side and the back. That's deception. I agree with Candace. I agree with Tucker. And I'm going to tell you, I believe in my heart, and I'm going to start turning the show off, that Jenna Ellis is a deceiver and she's a phony. And she.
Yeah. Well, okay, Shirley, yeah, you're entitled to your opinion. We would not share that opinion here on American Family Radio. And I love Jenna Ellis, and she's a good friend. And you know, yeah, deception is very real, and so we need to study to show ourselves approved, and who's telling us the truth. Now, you can have Christians, you know, Jenna and I probably agree on most things. If you get down into the nitty-gritty, we might not agree on every single, you know, ancillary doctrine of Scripture, or how we interpret this or that or the other, and that might be true also with Tim Wildman. You know, we don't have to agree on every little minor point. I have lots of people in my church, they don't agree with me on minor points. They might not agree with me on eschatology, which is not really a minor point, but it's not a deal breaker. And so you have spine issues, those are critical, and you have rib issues. You know, you can live with a broken rib, but you can't live with a broken spine. You break your back, you're in serious trouble. You crack a rib, okay, I can live with that. And so, I would disagree with you. Appreciate you listening to the program, but I totally disagree with you. I don't know what has happened to Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, but you know, the Bible makes it clear that we are to support Israel, and God will bless those who bless Israel. He will curse those who curse Israel. The devil hates Israel because Israel, they're the people, the nation that God has chosen. The seed of the woman came from a Jewish woman named Mary as she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was born of a virgin, as we're getting ready to celebrate at Christmas time. Everything comes through the Jews. Salvation is from the Jews, Paul said. And so we support the Jews. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We know that the Lord is coming back one day to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, that all Israel will one day be saved. Not every single person, but all the tribes are going to recognize that Jesus Christ is their Messiah. Right now, there's been a partial hardening, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, but they are going to come back to the Lord during the tribulation period and recognize that Jesus indeed was their Messiah, and they're going to be, as it says in Revelation chapter 7, 144,000, 12,000 Jewish Apostle Pauls that will go out as evangelists during that terrible time known as the tribulation period. Well, we have Marty on the line from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, Brother Jeff, it's good. I love listening to you. You're a blast. And I'm like you. I love black and white. I love black and white. But I even find in my own life there's a gray area often. And I've been reading in the book of Daniel, and I just love Daniel's lament to God in chapter 9. It's just amazing. We have sinned. Our face, he's saying, is... is wrong. Our attitude is wrong. And then in chapter 10, he says, he saw this individual, and he says his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and legs like a gleaming of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, was the only one who saw. And it says, I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. And that's where I feel I love the black and white. But in my fleshly nature, we seem to want to throw gray in there.
Right.
And it's a little ridiculous, but it is part of this walk. And I love that it's Daniel and what he did. He had been sick for weeks with what he had been seeing. And I think even in our culture today, we are in kind of that area. But we know, as well as Daniel knew, there is a Messiah who's going to take care of all of this.
Amen. Yeah, it's so true, Marty. And so we are awaiting the return of the Lord. Now, he comes back. As I believe the Bible teaches, he comes back first for his own in the clouds at the rapture of the church, and that's a signless event that can happen at any moment, and so we are to look up, be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near, and then he comes back to rule and reign, and at the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19, and he does battle with the Antichrist and his forces. He defeats them with a sharp sword that comes out of his mouth. The God who spoke them into existence will speak them into oblivion. Don't get the idea that the Battle of Armageddon is a back and forth affair like Rocky Balboa fighting Apollo Creed. No, it's just the Lord comes back and he speaks and they are done, and sets up his kingdom. And what a day that will be. Well, I'm sorry, Rachel, in South Carolina, we ran out of time, but thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for calling in. Love to hear from you. And if you have a question or comment, you can always reach me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. That's Pastor Jeff, J-E-F-F, at FromHisHeart.org. Or connect with me on X at Jeff, J-E-F-F, Shreve, S-C-H-R-E-V-E. Well, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And guess what? If you do that, God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.